No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, and Celia Imrie as Charlotte. Episode 3, Charity Begins at Home.
I'm going to give up the theatre.
Ah. Well, come on, Anna, that's not much of a reaction.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm afraid, Charlotte, darling, this is not the first time that I've heard you say you're going to give up the theatre. And what it has meant every other time you said it is that the theatre has given you up.
That's not it this time.
Really? Life doesn't seem to have been too busy on the work front, though, does it? You don't seem to have had producers falling over themselves for your services recently. Dave's Kitchen hasn't cast you as a great new sensation in the British film industry. You haven't even gone to many auditions.
Interviews?
Sorry?
We actors tend to go for interviews for parts these days. The word audition sounds, I don't know, kind of desperate.
I thought when it came to work, you usually were kind of desperate.
And I was actually being serious, you know.
Sorry.
You see, I've had a call.
What? A call from a producer offering
no,
you...
No, not that kind of call. I felt a powerful urge within me.
And who's the lucky man?
Anna, sometimes you can be extraordinarily trivial.
Thanks.
Anyway, I've given up men, too.
And are you sure that was that way round? It isn't men who've...
Oh, do shut up. When I spoke of a call, I didn't mean so much a call as a calling.
Good heavens, Charlotte, you're not going to become a nun, are you?
No, I'm not. Listen, Anna, it struck me recently that my life up until this point has been entirely selfish.
Sorry? You weren't expecting me to disagree, were you?
All I've done in the past is take, take, take. And now I think it's time for me to give, give, give.
And who are you proposing should be the recipient of your largesse?
The community.
Fine. I thought for one horrible moment it might be me.
I know you think it's all terribly funny, and you'll go on mocking me whenever I try to do anything serious. But from now on, you're going to see a new Charlotte.
Really? I was quite fond of the old one, you know, warts and all.
I haven't got any warts. I had them removed when I finished drama school.
Yes,
I think I have a lot to give. I'm fortunate to possess a small private income. Not a lot, but enough to keep me and Giselle. And
where is Giselle, by the way?
Oh, goodness, no. She's out somewhere with some friends. Mm. Anyway, I think I should devote the rest of my life to charity. Voluntary work.
Oh.
Giving my services free to help others.
I do know what voluntary work is, Charlotte.
Well, that's the call I've had, Anna.
Hmm.
And I'm going to obey it. Come on, say what you think.
This hasn't got anything to do with Princess Diana and Mother Teresa, has it?
What?
I just thought you might have seen a gap in the market.
Must be so depressing for you, Anna, having such a cynical outlook. I feel really sorry for you.
That doesn't mean you're going to help me, does it?
No.
Thank God for that.
Well, isn't that just entirely typical? Finally, the message sinks into Charlotte's thick skull that the reason she doesn't get any work is because she's a lousy actress. And what does she do? Immediately try to set herself up as drama queen of hearts. Do we know which particular branch of charity is going to have the dubious benefit of our sister emoting all over it?
She hasn't told me, Victoria. Maybe she hasn't decided yet.
I doubt whether the right one for her has yet been invented. Unless there already is an SCMCE.
No, you'll have to spell that out for me.
Society for the Continuous Massage of Charlotte's Ego.
Very good.
It is so ridiculous. Her, of all people. Charlotte can't even look after herself. She certainly can't look after her daughter. I mean, I know life dealt poor Giselle a pretty tough card, being born as a result of yet another of Charlotte's iffy, unstable relationship.
Charlotte was actually married to the father when Giselle was born.
Yes. But what did marriage mean to someone like Charlotte? For her, it was just a rather extended one-night stand.
I don't think that's fair.
Charlotte is incapable of the mature commitment that marriage requires, and therefore of the enduring, mutually respectful fulfilment that married people share.
Is that what you and Roger share? Enduring, mutually respectful fulfilment?
And now she's in her teens. Giselle is just totally out of hand. Someone really ought to talk to Charlotte about her daughter's behaviour.
What do you mean, someone ought to? Why don't you talk to Charlotte about it?
What? to her face.
Or on the phone. You have both options.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Why not?
Well, I wouldn't want her to think I was criticising her.
But that's exactly what you would be doing and what you want to do. You do want to criticise Charlotte. Come on, you've never shown much reticence about it in the past. You've criticised her lifestyle, her lovers, her acting, her makeup, the decor of her flat, her taste in music.
But not her daughter.
Rubbish, you've done nothing but criticise yourself from the day she was born.
Oh, yes, I might have done it to you, but not to Charlotte.
Why not?
Well, I'd hate to appear smug.
This may come as a surprise, but you quite often do, you know, Victoria.
I don't think I do. You see, the thing is with Charlotte and Giselle, it's awkward for me because I have Emily, Harriet and Benji.
Why does that make it awkward?
Because they, not to put too fine a point on it, because they're well brought up.
Ah.
Oh, as a family, we've had our ups and downs.
Particularly with Emily.
Maybe. But basically, Roger and my children are all middle-class children with their hearts in the right place and proper values.
I don't think I've got the energy to ask for your definition of proper values.
Whereas Giselle, well, I mean, with the best will in the world.
What about Giselle?
From day one, that child has just been allowed to behave exactly as she wants to. She's grown up in a household in which there's been no concept of discipline.
When I last saw Giselle, I thought she seemed very mature for her age.
Mature, yes. Like a pothouse plant's mature.
Oh.
That girl has never been allowed to be young. Charlotte has cheated her completely of her childhood. Do you know, she never even read her Winnie the Pooh. And she'll have to take the consequences.
So what do you reckon those consequences will be?
Who knows exactly, but one thing is certain. It'll end in tears. Drugs, unwanted pregnancy, AIDS, boyfriends from state schools. There are plenty of nasty things out there waiting to be picked up by unattached young people wandering the streets of London.
I really think, Victoria, if you feel so strongly on the subject, you should have a word to Charlotte about it.
No, it wouldn't do.
Why ever not?
Because when the inevitable disaster with Giselle does happen, I'd hate to be the one who said I told you so.
So once again, I've got to do your dirty work, have I? Be your intermediary. Do you know, in this family, I sometimes feel I am nothing more than a kind of convenient cassette player. I switch myself on to record a moan from you about Charlotte. Then I go to Charlotte's and switch myself on again to play back your moan. Revert to record mode to hear her views on the subject of you. Return here to play her moan back to you. Why on earth can't the two of you say things to each other's faces?
Because, Anna, that is not how families work.
Now, it's really great of you to come. Charlotte, did you say your name was?
That's right, Charlotte Graves. Well, that's my professional name, you know, on stage. In fact, I'm really Charlotte...
We're all on first names here. I'm Imelda.
Super to meet you.
Ranjit, could you pile up those sweatshirts over with the others in the corner? And how did you hear about this?
A chum of mine, Frances Palfrey, mentioned you. Hmm. She used to have a regular part in Emmerdale, but she got killed off in the plane crash.
Frances, right, yeah. Kim Sung, could you fax up those social services letters? Quickly, please. Yeah, Frances didn't say that long.
No, well, she got off at Hedda Gabler in Glasgow.
Oh.
But you won't have that problem with me. Hedda Gabler, Lady Macbeth, Cleopatra. They can ask, they can come to me on bended knee, but the answer will be no. I've really and truly given up the theatre.
Right. Hey, Brandy, stop looking out of the window. Those envelopes won't stuff themselves, will they? Yeah, very funny. Sorry, some of the young ones get a bit nippy.
Yes, the average age does seem pretty young, doesn't it?
Well, we encourage that. And then a lot of them are actually homeless kids we've helped, and working for us here has given them a bit of self-respect.
Splendid. It's a wrench for me, of course, giving up the theatre, but there comes a point where one asks oneself what one was actually put on this earth for. And I
really... Abby, don't put the dirty soup bowls on top of the photocopier! So, Charlotte, sorry to rush you. Do you have any skills?
Skills? But I'm volunteering.
Yes, the volunteers need skills. If there's something you're particularly good at, it'd be a pity to waste it, right?
Right.
Here, we're trying to match the task required to the particular skills people have. It makes sense in principle, but of course it doesn't always work. What do you think you'd be good at?
Well, Imelda, I think I could be very effective at visiting dying people in hospital and, you know, just saying the right thing and helping them through that rather difficult time when all their bodily functions
Hopefully we won't need that. We try not to get too many people in hospitals. What we do, as you see, is the homeless on the streets of London. And as volunteers, we're looking for people who can give them practical help, who won't be judgmental, just get on with things, no fuss. With me?
I'd be very good at that.
Floyd, could you check out whether that pack of clean needles has arrived yet?
Sorry, Charlotte.
I was just saying, I do understand about the homeless.
Right.
I know all about it. You see, I had a part in this play at Hornchurch where my character actually was homeless. I put these scabs on my face and I even blacked out two of my teeth. None of my chums recognised me, and the review in the stage said that I looked...
The homeless we deal with are pretty young, you know, just teenagers. Obviously, they're into drugs and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, so I really do know about drugs. I read it all up when I was at drama school. You know, the effects they have. In one exercise we did, the tutor said my withdrawal symptoms were the most convincing that he'd ever seen in 30 years of teaching.
No, Ranja, keep the clean ones separate from the ones that have been puked over. Listen, Charlotte, I've got to go to one of our brainstorming sessions now. But look, great, thanks. Good to have you on board. Hmm?
Thank you. Good luck with your brainstorming session. What's it about?
Oh, the usual. Abby, you can't just dump them in the sink. They need washing up. No, we're talking once again about how to raise our profile. You don't get any donations if people don't know you exist. All charities up against the big boys these days. Smith expensive presentations like relief from the lottery. Nobody knows about a charity that's not possible over the television.
I'm sure.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Imelda, I've got lots of chums in television. Maybe I could help this place get a bit more coverage.
Charlotte, do you really think you could?
Perhaps you two ought to consider doing some charity work.
I'm not quite sure how I'd find the time. I do have a full-time job, you know.
Yes, of course, Anna. And working for a dentist, you're sort of giving something back to other people anyway.
Well, that's not really how I see it, Charlotte.
No, but dentistry is a kind of caring profession.
Caring? How can you say that? You have met my boss, Eddie, haven't you?
Yes, and the fact that you put up with him means that you're doing charity work, so you're fine. But you don't have the excuse of a full-time job, do you, Vicky, darling?
What?
There's nothing to stop you doing some charity work, is there? I mean, now that you've got the children off your hands.
The children are not off my hands. Emily, Harriet and Benji are still all at school.
Yes, and they leave before 8 and get back after 5, which does seem to me to leave rather a big gap in the middle of the day, during which someone who wanted to do something useful could be doing something useful.
Charlotte, you know nothing about the demands on my time. In case you hadn't noticed, we have a very large house.
And you also have a woman who comes in every morning to clean it.
Whether or not I have a cleaning lady in the mornings is not the point. I also have Roger.
Why, does he leave messes around the house in the evening?
No, what Victoria's saying is he needs a lot of looking after. Yes, he does.
I can imagine he would. Roger's never struck me as the easiest of men.
At least he stayed with me for nearly 25 years, which is about 24 and a half longer than any man's ever stayed with you.
At least I've never had a man who...
Please, could you two just be pleasant to each other for an hour? It's not often that all three of us get together for a real meal like this.
No, and you can see why.
Oh, right.
You know, it's remarkable what a warm glow I feel inside these days, knowing that I'm putting other people first.
Yes, well, that must be a novel experience for you.
Victoria!
No, it's all right, Anna, I can take it. We who work in charity have to have broad shoulders.
And you don't miss the supposedly glamorous life you've given up?
Hardly at all. It's amazing how many things you can cheerfully give up when you know that you're doing something worthwhile.
And how's Giselle, by the way?
Oh, she's fine. So grown up these days. Always off doing her own thing. I hardly know where she is from one day to the next.
Sorry, Victoria. Was there something you wanted to say?
No.
I've always believed in letting Giselle stand on her own two feet, you know. From a tiny thing, it's so easy to overprotect the young. I mean, far be it from me to ever give you advice about bringing up your children, Vicky. But I often think if you hadn't cosseted them so much, you'd have had far fewer problems with Emily, Harriet and Benji.
I have never had any problems with Emily, Harriet and Benji.
No. Of course you haven't, Vicky, darling.
Charlotte, what do you actually do for this charity of yours?
I deal with all the media side.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to raise our profile. You see, the charity desperately needs to get exposure on television. And, of course, I just happen to have lots of chums in television. It was meant.
So what do you actually do all day?
I phone round. I use every half contact I've ever had. I'm totally shameless. I plead and I beg people to do me favours.
I thought that's what you did when you were an actress.
It's totally different now. Now I can be more brazen.
More brazen?
You see, because it's not for me, because it's for a cause, and the reaction's wonderful. People will do anything for you if you tell them it's for charity.
But you've always known that, haven't you?
What do you mean?
I thought that was how you got all your lovers.
Be
absolutely wonderful, Reggie. Yes, my name's Charlotte. Well, we're all on first names here. But you may remember me as Charlotte Graves. We worked together. Yes. I had a spit and a cough in that screen, too, about the wife battering care worker. I was the girl behind the counter at the travel agents.
I'm sure you're making that up. You always were such a rogue. Anyway, bless you. I'll be in touch when we've got more details sorted. And thank you so much for Des's number. Talk soon, Reggie, darling. Bye. Got a result, Imelda?
We'll talk again soon, Annie. What's that, Charlotte?
You'll never guess who we've got on board. Reggie McNabb.
Oh.
He is simply the best television lighting cameraman in the business.
Ah, anyway, he's a definite, is he?
He's as absolutely rock-solid definite as anyone can be at this stage.
What does that mean?
It means he'll definitely do it if all the other names we're hoping to get will do it.
And how are you doing on all the other names?
Fine. They're all absolutely rock-solid definite, so long as all the other names agree to do it.
Oh.
That's how things work in the business. Nobody of any stature will agree to do anything until they know who else is involved.
Is that what you did when you were an actress? Did you never agree to do a job until you knew who else was involved?
Well, anyway, what they're all waiting for is the trigger.
Trigger?
Yes, the one really monumentally big name who they all want to work with. Once you've got that name agreed, everyone else will fall into place.
And how are you doing on getting that one really monumentally big name?
Suddenly rather well, because darling Reggie was good enough to give me the home phone number at none other than Des Kitchen.
Ah, well, even I've heard of him.
I should think so. He's only about the hottest British director around.
Yes, and according to the gossip columns, that's not the only area in which he's hot.
You can't believe all you read in the tabloids.
Oh, you mean none of it's true?
Actually, in the case of Des Kitchen, apparently it is. Oh. Chum of mine was on a shoot with him. Mm. She said he made the average rat of a train pipe look lethargic.
Really? Oh, but do you think he'd agree to do this film for us?
We can only find out by asking. Wish me luck, Imelda.
Good luck, Charlotte.
What's Abby gone to? She's gone
off her
cigarette again. Oh,
gone.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Hello?
Is that Des Kitchen?
Yep.
My name's Charlotte Graves, and I'm ringing about a directing project that some chums and I...
How the hell did you get my home number? It's ex-directory. And it's ex-directory for the simple reason that I don't want to be pestered by little two-bit actresses with ideas for movies. I have an agent to protect me from nuisance calls. If I listened to every pathetic loser who tried to interest me in a directing project, I'd spend my entire life farting around...
Just for charity...
What?
The directing project I'm talking about is for charity.
Oh, right. What charity? Is it an AIDS one?
No, but it's still quite a sexy subject.
What, famine in Africa? Because I think people are beginning to lose interest in that.
Oh, yes, sure. Long past its sell-by.
Yeah, and Bosnia's a bit passé, too.
Couldn't agree more. No, this one is of today, and what's more, it's right on our doorstep. I think people would be impressed when they heard that you were involved, Des.
Right. Of course, I always do any charity work anonymously.
Of course you do, but it would inevitably get out, and people would still be impressed when they heard that you were involved.
Ah.
Do you think I could come and see you and talk about it? I'm sure I could sell you the idea on a one-to-one basis. Hmm?
It's all over the papers.
Yes, well, once you get a name like Des Kitchen on
board... I think it's very undignified, Anna. Charities used to be discreet organisations. They just used to get on quietly with doing good work and nobody ever heard anything about them.
To be successful, a charity nowadays has to have a high profile. Charlotte was taken on by that lot to raise their profile and clearly she's succeeding.
Yes, but does she have to have her name plastered all over everything as well?
Well, anything, as I said, that raises the profile is...
What's really annoying about it is that the people who read this stuff will get an image of Charlotte. Some kind of selfless do-gooder, only a couple of steps away from canonization.
It is possible for people to change their nature, you know.
Do you believe it's possible for Charlotte to change her nature?
We can always live in hope, can't we? Victoria, you're sure it's not simply that you're jealous of all the media attention Charlotte's getting?
Oh, really, Anna, don't be ridiculous. The trouble is, though... Throughout all this publicity blitz that Charlotte set up for herself, I can't help feeling sorry for her.
Really? Why?
Because I am so lucky. My kids are all doing so well. You wouldn't believe how hard Emily's working for her A-levels. And yet every now and then I'm brought up short when I think of poor little Giselle.
Ah.
That kid's never been given any direction, any moral armour.
Moral armour? What the hell's that?
Moral armour is a defence that every young person needs against an increasingly wicked world. And it is a defence that is built up by continuing parental concern and example.
Example? Are you telling me that Roger marches through life with his moral armour girded about him?
Yes, of course he does. Anyway, poor little Giselle's never had any of that. She goes through life as vulnerable as a snail without a shell on.
Oh, goodness, poor child. That makes her a slug, doesn't it?
Go on. You tell me, when you last saw Giselle, were you impressed?
No, I haven't seen her for a while.
But I thought you spent Sunday evening in Charlotte's.
Yes, but Giselle wasn't there.
Isn't that typical? Emily, Harriet and Benji are always in on Sunday evenings. They know it's family time. It's not a time to be out enjoying yourself. Where was Giselle?
Charlotte didn't know.
Ha! My point, I think, is proved.
Yes, but... Oh, well, maybe Giselle's been going through a difficult time. It's never been much fun being a teenager and with all the pressures that are on kids these days.
You know something.
What?
You know something that's happened to Giselle.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I can tell from the tone of your voice. Giselle's been in some sort of trouble, hasn't she?
Nothing serious.
Ah, but there was something.
Charlotte swore me to secrecy. It was a minor incident at school, and it's all forgotten now.
You haven't forgotten it.
And if I told you what it was, I'm bloody sure you'd never forget it either. For which reason, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Well, shouldn't be very difficult to work out. Going to an inner London comprehensive like Giselle does is bound to be either sex, alcohol or drugs.
Going to a nice middle-class all-girls suburban school like Emily does, it's bound to be either sex, alcohol or drugs.
Was it sex?
I said, Victoria, I'm not going to talk about something that I was told in the strictest confidence.
Alcohol, then?
You'd know all about that, because, of course, you had your problems with Emily in that area, didn't you?
Or drugs.
You are not going to get anything out of me.
So it was drugs, wasn't it?
I'm not saying anything.
One of the advantages of having known you for over 50 years, Anna, and one of the advantages of your being almost pathologically truthful, is that I can always tell when you're lying. So... Poor little Giselle with a drugs problem. Of course, I'd never be the one to say I told you so to Charlotte, but all the same.
You know, Dad, as nice as this is, you really ought to be getting out of this chair and doing some filming.
Yeah, in a minute. But I mustn't rush.
Why not?
Because I've read all these books and magazine articles about women's needs, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I know women don't just need sex. They need a nice, reassuring cuddle afterwards. Yeah, apparently the lack of that nice, reassuring cuddle afterwards is one of the major complaints brought up by women in divorce courts.
I'm really impressed, Des. It's a long time since I've been to bed with a new man.
Well, I don't believe that for a start. With someone as dishy as you, I bet you get a new man coming onto you every night.
You know very little about me, Des.
Except that you're G.I.P.
I'm never sure in these days of feminist consciousness whether being described as good in bed is a compliment or an insult.
Well, I'm not sure either. I just know it's very good for the person you're in bed with.
Mm.
Of course, I don't know anything about you as an actress, either.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen anything you've done? No major telly series or...
No, well, I always did have rather a reputation as an actor. You know, low profile, but hugely admired in the business.
Hmm. And you really have given the whole thing up?
Oh, yes, I think so. You know... I do seem to have a real vocation for this charity work. Unless, I suppose, the really perfect part came up, but it'd have to be a bloody good one to make me change my mind.
Mm.
You haven't talked much about this new film you're doing, Tess.
No, well, it's early stages. Still arguing with Hollywood about casting, all those predictable hassles.
Yes?
Usual thing. They want Michelle Pfeiffer and Julia Roberts. I want to cast British unknowns.
Hmm. I don't suppose, Des, you've ever thought of...
Sorry, have you finished in there?
For the time being. We'll pick up where we left off, please.
Hello?
Now, what is it we're officially in here doing?
We're checking through the shot list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, fine. Yeah, we're just checking through the shot list. What's her name?
Imelda.
Imelda. Be out in a minute.
Okay, we've got all the kids sorted, so ready when you are.
Yeah, matter of seconds.
Fine.
So what we're doing first, Charlotte?
Imelda's lined up a bunch of homeless kids. They're in this dark, dank archway, which Reggie's lit really moodily, and you're going to pan across their faces.
Sure, yeah, it all comes back to me. Sorry, I got a bit distracted.
Awesome.
Okay, let's get the show on the road.
Hi there, Imelda.
The kids are all ready.
Terrific. You coming, Charlotte?
Sure.
Hey, these look great, Imelda. couldn't have cast them better myself.
They're not actors, Des. They are genuine homeless kids with drug problems.
Yeah, of course they are, of course they are. But you've got a good mix from the really ragged to the quite smart. Nice work. I just want to reorganise them a bit.
All okay?
Oh, fine, Charlotte. Imelda, could we get that really smartly dressed one to the end of the line? I'd like to kind of pan along the riff-raff and end up on her. You know, pictures speak louder than words. Shot like that can make the statement that middle-class kids screw up their lives, too.
Sure. Excuse me, you are the smart trainers. Could you just... You in the middle, what's your name?
Her name's Chazelle.
Well, I'm appalled.
Yes, I thought you might be, Victoria.
It is, if I may say so, entirely typical of Charlotte.
Oh, yes.
The way she brought that child up. I just wouldn't have expected that of Chazelle.
No. Goes to show, doesn't it?
Charlotte rang me last night, and she was entirely shameless about it.
Well, she'd no reason to be ashamed, had she?
That is not the point.
Wouldn't you be proud of Emily if she'd had a brush with drugs at school and...
Emily would never have had a brush with drugs at school.
Let's leave that on one side for a moment, shall we? But if Emily had nearly got involved and then recognised the danger and been so shocked by how near she'd come that she'd decided to devote the bulk of her spare time to a charity helping other kids facing similar temptations... Well, you'd be pleased, wouldn't you?
I suppose so, yes.
So why aren't you pleased when you find out that that's exactly what Chazelle has done?
Well, I
would have thought it's something of a vindication for the way Charlotte's brought her daughter up. Letting her stand on her own two feet, letting her make her own decisions.
But isn't it absolutely typical of Charlotte's selfishness that she's given up doing the charity work?
Well, she'd achieved what they wanted her to achieve. That television programme got massive coverage, really put the organisation on the map.
Yes.
And all that gossip column stuff about Charlotte Des Kitchen hasn't hurt the charity's profile either.
No.
I just hope it works out for her this time.
And what chances are of that happening?
Oh, according to the interview Des gave in last Sunday's Observer, quite a good one. He seems very smitten. Can't bear to be away from her. And then he was hinting there might be a part for her in his new film. Sorry? Victoria, darling, are you all right?
No, I've got one of my migraines coming on. It's getting worse and worse. I'll have to ring off. Goodbye, Anna.
In episode 3 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget played Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, Buffy Davis played Imelda, and Dave Lamb, Des Kitchen. Music was composed by Elizabeth Parker. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.